Yes, all righty.
Let's grab our hymnals, folks, and we'll stand for a final hymn prior to the morning's message. Let's open up to 67. How I love the words of this old hymn of the faith. Elvina Hall wrote, Jesus paid it all. Amen? First, second, and fourth.
I hear the Savior sing, thy strength indeed is strong. Child of weakness, watch it bring, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's thoughts and melt the heart of stone.
The fourth. Listen to these words.
And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all.
Please be seated, church. What a great old hymn of the faith. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Oh, glory to God. What a great Savior we serve. So good to be in the Lord's army on the winning side. Amen. The battle's already won. Let's grab our Bibles at this time, folks, and open up to the book of Exodus this morning. Follow me to Exodus chapter 17. And have a message I want to bring from Exodus chapter 17. And then next Sunday, I'm going to bring another message from Exodus chapter 17. A follow-up message. Incredible things happening here. In Exodus chapter 17, as you know, the children of Israel have just come out of Egypt. The Lord brought them out with a stretched out arm and a strong and mighty hand. Amen. And they're about to take their journey through the wilderness to the promised land. Amen. Now, it took them 40 years to get there because they're stubborn. And it reminds me of us a lot. But we can learn so much from this passage. I want you to stand with me for the reading of God's holy word in Exodus chapter 17. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Exodus 17. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee, there upon the rock in Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not? Beloved, I want to call your attention here to verse number 6, where God tells Moses to smite the rock. I want to speak to you on the rock that was smitten. The rock that was smitten. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the rock that was smitten. And the waters gushed out, Father. Oh, the spiritual implications here, Lord, are so deep. And we thank you, Father God, that the rock was smitten, that we may drink of that living water, oh God, and not be athirst in the desert of this world. We thank you for the rock that was smitten. We ask you to bless your word and give us spiritual understanding in this passage. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. 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 Please be seated, church. Now, I want to call our attention this morning to this rock found in the 17th of Exodus. As the children of Israel are beginning their journey through the wilderness, a rock speaks of shelter. A rock speaks of safety. A rock speaks of durability and strength. Amen? I'll never forget the first time we saw the cliff dwellings of Mesa Verde on the mission field out in Colorado. And the Mesa Verde, anybody ever seen Mesa Verde? The cliff dwellings were constructed over a millennium ago, and they still stand. Why? Because they were carved out of the rock. There's tons and tons of granite. And I remember saying to my boys were just, you know, little rugrats at the time. This is 23 years ago, 1991. And I remember saying to my boys, look at the tons and tons of solid granite rock in which they were built, boys. I said, that rock reminds me of Jesus our Lord. Amen? That rock reminded me of Jesus Christ. It's solid, man. You can depend upon it. It won't give out. We sing, though raging storms may round us beat, a shelter in the time of the storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of the storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of the storm. I'm here to tell you this morning, beloved, that Jesus is a rock. And he is a rock upon whom you and I may depend every day in our lives. Isaiah 32 and verse 2 says, A king shall reign in righteousness, and he shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. That's Jesus Christ. Amen. He's a great rock in a weary land. He'll quench your thirst. Amen. He'll take care of your every need if you let him. So let's positively identify this rock before we get into our message this morning. Paul quotes from Exodus 17 in 1 Corinthians. Look with me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Hold your place. We're coming back. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul identifies this rock of Exodus 17 for us, clearly, by the Holy Spirit. Look what he says, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and look with me in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. He doesn't want you unknowing on who this rock is, amen? How that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea. Now, who's he talking about there? The children of Israel. That's right, David. And they passed through the Red Sea on their way to the Promised Land. So he's quoting from Exodus, right? Now, look at it. And we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, the Red Sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, manna, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. I'm so glad that we know who the rock is. Amen. I'm so glad that God doesn't leave us in the dark concerning the identity of this rock in Exodus chapter 17. Glory to God. Now, I want to give you four things this morning concerning this rock that was smitten. The first thing I want you to see is the condition of desperate need. Look with me in our text in Exodus 17. Notice the condition of desperate need. Verse 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Now, folks, I want you to get the picture.
There's 2 million Jews that Moses is leading out of the wilderness of Sin, and it's not a drop of water in the desert of Sin. Oh, beloved, that'll preach. There's no water in the wilderness of this world. And they're desperate. They're desperate for water. Amen? Now, they were dwelling in a barren place. This world is a dry and barren and desperate place. This world can never supply the wants of the human soul. Listen, separated from the cross of Christ, our abode is in waste places, full of broken cisterns, pots that have holes and can hold no water. That's what the things of this world are. They're broken cisterns that can hold no water. They'll disappoint you. They'll let you down. Go to Jeremiah. Hold your place in Exodus. In Jeremiah, look with me in chapter 2. In Jeremiah chapter 2, look with me at verse 12. Jeremiah the prophet writes, "Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. Why? For my people have committed 2 evils. One, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. 2, they've hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Whoa. Now, let me ask you a question, church. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, is Jeremiah referring to the world out there? Or is he referring to God's people? Oh, beloved, he's talking about the believing Israelites forsaking their God and seeking things that could not satisfy. I hope you're listening this morning. Because the things of this world can never satisfy the soul of man. Only Jesus Christ, that rock. Only that rock that has the living waters gushing out can satisfy your soul. I hope you're listening this morning. Psalm 68. Turn back to Psalm 68 from Jeremiah. And look with me in Psalm 68 at verse number 4. Psalm 68, verse 4. I like verse 1. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. Sing, verse 4. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Thy congregation hath dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. I love it. I love it because he says the rebellious, they dwell in a dry land, wherein is no water. But the people of God are fed and watered and taken care of. Amen. Oh, he's so good. I'm so glad this morning that we're part of his congregation, verse 10, and that he prepares of his goodness for us. Oh, he's so good. I'm so thankful this morning for that. Around 1858, while the tracks were being constructed for the Pacific Railway, a man by the name of Ernest Scoville from Cleveland, Ohio, was in charge of the Army Corps of Engineers in the state of Nevada. On one occasion, the Corps was called upon to leave their supply base for a trip of 6 days. On the fourth day, in the sweltering desert heat, their water ran out. The sufferings of men and beasts were terrible. The sun was like a great round furnace. The horses struggled on. Two of the men became delirious and had to be bound in the wagon. The situation became desperate. And Mr. Scoville directed small groups of men to go in different directions in search of water. The team he sent up a 1,000-foot gulch discovered some moist gravel and sand. After digging down about 8 feet, they struck water. It was brackish, it was warm, it was nasty, but it was water. Nothing ever tasted sweeter to those men. They were all saved. Listen. As the team finished filling all water jugs to complete their journey, Scoville thought, maybe there will be another poor traveler someday coming this way. So he took an empty flour barrel. He scrawled upon the barrel, "Water, 1,000 feet up this gulch," signed Ernest Scoville. Some 18 years later, while on commission in Lima, Peru, Scoville was sharing this story with about 60 engineers in town while eating lunch. Suddenly, a man stood up and cried, "You are the man! You are the man, Ernest Scoville!" He said, "Yes." The man said, "You saved my life!" He went on to tell how he and his crew were about to die in the desert some 16 years before. They had killed their horses and drank their blood just to stay alive. "When we got to the gulch, we lay down to die. Just then, one of my men saw your barrel sign, and after finding your water hole, we were all saved." We were all saved, amen? That's how this world is, folks. Multitudes and multitudes are in desperation, dying without the water of life. We need to make a barrel sign. Life in Jesus Christ, amen? 1,000 feet up, I mean. Oh, man. Why? Because this world is in desperate circumstances. Look at verse 2. Their condition grows worse. In Exodus 17, look at verse 2. "Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' And Moses said unto them, 'Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?' And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, 'Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?'" They're about to commit a mutiny. They're about to hang Moses and head back to Egypt. Folks, it's going from bad to worse here. Now listen, when the thirst came, the barrenness of the land was felt. And when the Holy Spirit brings conviction to the soul, then the emptiness of the world's pleasures wells is realized. Amen? You come to the point where you realize, hey, there's nothing in this world for me except Jesus Christ. Amen. And then you look to that rock that was smitten. Glory to God. They were in a desperate condition. But secondly this morning, notice the unexpected source of supply. Back to our text, look at verse 4. I see an unexpected source of supply. "And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, 'What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me.' And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there, upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink.' And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel." Notice here in verse 6, the unexpected source of supply came from an old rock. Don't you know that God can use the feeblest of things to work through? I'm so glad he's not fussy when it comes to Bob Oliver, for sure. Man, he can work through anything or anyone who is willing. Listen, folks,
God will use the most unlikely sources to accomplish His will.
Nathanael, in John 1:46, said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Yeah, King of Kings. But this was no ordinary rock. It was a God-possessed rock. Look again at verse 6. Don't miss this. God says to Moses, "Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock."
Folks, this rock was like no other rock there's ever been in the history of the world, because God was in this rock. Amen? Oh, what a picture of the deity of the Son of God we find here in verse 6. God was in the rock. That rock could do anything because God was in it. Amen? It's no ordinary rock. The Lord said, "I will stand upon the rock and I will do what I please with it." I'm so glad that He is fully able to do so. Now pause and think with me about this text, beloved. The rock in Horeb of itself could do nothing, but God in the rock could do anything. This rock represents the human nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God on the rock represents His divine power and Godhead. The source of our salvation is God Himself. And the channel of communication is through the rock of our salvation, Jesus Christ. Listen, you've got a rock to go to. You've got a rock to depend on. And that rock that you depend on can crush your enemies. It's dangerous when you get under a big rock. Yeah. It'll hurt you. And this rock here is in battle for you. Listen carefully. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm so glad that God was in the rock. And because He was, the children of Israel would be just fine. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. One of our favorite chapters. And look what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 at verse 18. He says, "And all things," speaking of the new creature, the child of God, "and all things," now that we're saved, "are what?
Of God,
who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ," the rock, "and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation," to wit, that's to know, "that God was in Christ," God was in the rock, "reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the world of reconciliation." God was in the rock. "The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of the storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of the storm. A shade by day, defense by night. No fears, alarm, no foes affright. A shelter in the time of the storm. O rock divine, O refuge dear, be thou our helper ever near. O Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of the storm." That's who He is. He's the rock that you can depend upon for shade. He's the rock that you can depend upon for living water. He's the rock that you can depend upon for nutriment, amen, and health and well-being. Once when Caesar Augustus had bestowed a princely gift upon one whom he wished to honor in a special way, the recipient was so overwhelmed by the gift's magnificence that he exclaimed, "This is too great a gift for me to receive." "Ah, yes," Caesar replied, "but it is not too great a gift for me to give." Folks, I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ is too great a gift for God to give. But God says, "It is not too great a gift for me to give." Amen? I'm so glad that He gave the rock to be smitten for you and I. On this, this blessed rock was given. But that's not all. Something else I need you to see this morning. Listen carefully. Thirdly, observe the method used to produce the supply. Back in Exodus chapter 17, observe the method used to produce the supply. Verse 6, "Behold," God says, "I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink." Now, beloved, listen very carefully here. What a strange method God used to supply their water. That rock had to be smote. That rock had to be hit. That rock had to be punished in order for them to get the water. Oh, I hope somebody's listening. This thought could never originate from man. that salvation could be brought forth by smiting the Creator for the creature. What a mind-boggling thought that is. Isaiah 53. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 53. He graphically describes the smiting of this rock. And watch how he words it. In Isaiah 53, look with me at verse 3. Don't miss this. He, speaking of the rock, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he, the rock, hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him what?
Stricken.
Smitten of God and afflicted. The rock that was smitten. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, the rock, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Stricken. I'm talking about the rock that was smitten, folks. The rock that was stricken. Listen carefully. Notice in this method used to produce the supply of water, the rock had to be smitten with a rod. With a rod. We'll go back to our text. Exodus chapter 17. Don't miss this. Look at verse 5. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before this people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy what?
Rod.
Thy rod. I got a question. Look what he says. Wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. I got a question for you, church. What did Moses use that rod to do down in Egypt? To bring what upon the Egyptians? Begins with a J. Judgment. That rod represents the judgment of Almighty God. That rod represents divine punishment. And he says, I want you to smite that rock with that rod. It's the rod of God that Moses held, that Moses smote the rock with. It's the rod of God, not of Moses. Now, listen carefully. Very important. This rod of Moses was the rod of judgment, used to turn the Nile River to blood. It was used to bring all 10 of the plagues of Egypt. This rod of Moses was the sign, the symbol of God's authority and power and punishment for sin. That rock that was smitten had to be struck with this rod of God's judgment. Do you know what Jesus did for you and I? He took our beating for us, for our sin. He took our torture for us, for our sin. He took our hell for us, for our sins. He was smitten with the rod of God that you and I should be smitten with in hell. Oh, what a Savior we serve this morning, folks. My tongue can almost, I almost can't recite how glorious He is. I want you to think with me this morning. The rock that was smitten had to be struck with the rod of God's divine judgment in order for you and I to be forgiven. Isaiah 53, verse 10, we didn't read. Verse 10 says, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He, God the Father, hath put him, God the Son, to grief. For the transgression of my people, he was smitten. God the Father smote God the Son with his rod of divine punishment. Concerning the sufferings of Christ, we may truly say, Psalm 118, verse 23, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Oh, beloved, only a true believer can understand what I'm saying this morning. It is marvelous in our eyes that God himself would take my punishment. Never has there been such love displayed as when God took our sins upon his own Son and smote him for them. How could he do it? I wonder. In ancient times, a cross used to be set up at the place of market where goods were sold. If strangers asked where they could get such and such things, they were always told to go to the cross. Listen, the cross of Christ is God's marketplace for the world. And if any stranger wants pardon, life, and rest eternal, they must simply go to the cross. But you must come without money. It's free. Amen. You just need to come. You need to come. What a strange method God used to produce this water supply. But something else. Fourthly this morning, listen carefully. Notice the result of smiting the rock. Back in our text, Exodus 17. Notice the result of smiting this rock. Verse 6. Behold, I will stand before thee there, upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. Beloved, listen to me. The supply of beautiful, fresh spring water that came out of that rock was abundant. 2 million people, besides cattle, horses, and all that stuff, all drank. They were all filled. Their thirst was completely quenched by this rock, the water that came out of it. Go with me to Psalms, Psalm 78. Asaph wrote about it too. In Psalm 78, look with me at verse 1. Oh, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength. And his wonderful works that he had done. Drop down to 16. He brought streams also out of the what?
Oh, it didn't say a little dabble, do you? A little drip, drip, drip. It said streams out of the rock. And caused waters to run down like what?
Rivers.
Rivers. In the desert. Out of a rock.
That's our God. And look with me at verse 20. Behold, he... Who's the he of verse 20?
God the Father. It's God the Father.
Look at it. He smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Do you think so? Think he might be able to do that, you know? That's our God. He provided rivers of fresh water. And don't you know it tasted so good? Because God provided it. Oh, what a blessing to know that God provides the living water for you and I. Listen now, when Jesus Christ, our rock, was smitten, forthwith came there out water and blood. Listen, these are the emblems of a full salvation, a complete atonement, and a perfect cleansing. Amen. Oh, that's so good. The blood that came out cleanses us from all of our sins. But the water that came out sanctifies us in our daily walk. Woo! Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 5:23, that he might cleanse and purify us through the washing of water by the word. That rock was the word. And he cleanses us by it. Beloved, the result of smiting this rock was that the supply was super abundant. More than enough for all. And don't you know that Jesus Christ is more than enough for all who will accept him? I'm so glad of that. I'm so glad he doesn't say no to certain people groups or races or you know, tribes. What is the cost for receiving this precious life-giving water? What is the cost for receiving it? I'll give you a hint. T-H-I-R-S-T. You just have to thirst for it, amen? It is gotten without money and without price. Thirst is the only requirement for obtaining this living water. Isaiah 55, verse 1, proclaims, ho! I like that. Ho! Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. It's free. And if you'll only accept it, it's yours for the taking. Jesus said in John 7, verse 3, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Here's what he wants to do. He wants you to receive the living water from the rock that was smitten. And then he wants that living water to flow through you to others. Isn't that good? You don't hoard it and hide it and bury it under a napkin. You
spread it abroad
as far as you can. The blessed result of that rock being smitten. When the Son of God, our rock, was smitten on that old cross, an abundant supply of salvation to the world was opened up. Oh, that's so good. I'm so glad that no soul in this world has to go thirsty. No soul has to go without water from God, the water of life. One last thing, though. Don't miss this. Do you know what happened after the rock was smitten? What happened after the rock was smitten? Listen carefully. That rock followed them. That rock followed them. Look. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 again. Remember where we started? Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Don't miss this in closing. Because I'm so glad that the rock that was smitten stayed with them all 40 years of their journey. I'm here to tell you this morning, church, that Jesus Christ will stay with you all the days of your life. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never shut off the water supply that you need of His Holy Spirit. Look at it. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that" what?
Followed them.
And that rock was Christ. Folks, it's a theophany. It's a Christophany, some theologians like to call it. Anyway, whatever you call it, it's a pre-incarnate appearance of the second person of the Godhead. And He stayed with them all the way through, conquering the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and all those Ites peoples. Because the rock stayed with them. And the rock followed them for 40 years. Glory to God. Hear me now in closing, beloved. The Apostle Paul declares here that this spiritual rock followed them all through their wilderness journeys for 40 years till they reached the promised land. The salvation of God in Jesus Christ our rock is not only perfect in its design, which is divine, but it is continuous in its application. Amen? He doesn't just save you and then throw you out to the dogs. He follows you. He takes care of you. The power of His atoning blood still continues to follow all those who drink from these living waters of the rock. You know what that tells me, beloved? Listen, that those who drink from this smitten rock shall thirst no more. Should thirst no more. Why? Because of that spiritual rock which follows them. He's with you. He will not forsake you. You can depend upon His delicious living water every day. Every day. You've got it right here in the book, the Word of God. You've got it in the Holy Spirit that is in you. It's waters that live and abide forever. This simply means that whenever we get thirsty, we don't have to look anywhere else but to the rock of our salvation, Jesus Christ. Beloved, the presence of Jesus Christ with us is like a wellspring of living, refreshing, satisfying water that quenches your thirst and takes care of everything. Amen? Listen, once you know Him, He is always present with you. Always. He said in Matthew 28, verse 20, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Go with me to John chapter 4. We'll finish up here. In John chapter 4, we have an incredible passage of a Samaritan woman. And look what happens to her. In John chapter 4, this is so good. And I'm so thankful this morning that it's applicable to every one of us. Verse 10. Jesus answered and said, this is John 4, verse 10, unto her, this is the Samaritan woman, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water." He wants to give it to her. You see that? He's trying to talk her into it, but the well is involved. 11. The woman saith unto Him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water?" That sound familiar? Exodus 17. "Where are we going to drink, Moses?" Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be where? In him, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus says, the water that I want to give you is not like Jacob's well. The water that I want to give you is my spirit. The water that I want to give you is something that will last forever. The water out of this well, you'll get thirsty again. But the water that I give you, you'll never thirst again. Listen, in verse 14, Jesus makes it clear that he's got the living water for whosoever will come and drink of it. You'll have my Holy Spirit within, he says. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, he says. We may boldly say, the Lord is mine helper, and I will not fear. The spiritual application from Exodus 17 is simple, folks. Once you embrace the rock of salvation, the rock that was smitten, Jesus follows us and lives in us all the days of our life on earth. Aren't you glad? Aren't you thankful? Glory to God. In closing, on the sands at Salt Coats, there is a spring of cool, fresh water. But as it is, as it lies within the tide mark, it is frequently buried beneath the incoming waves. But every time the tide goes back out, the spring appears as fresh and full as ever it was. Listen, if there is within us what our Lord Jesus offers to give us, a well of living water springing up within, it will manifest itself. The incoming billows of temptation or the flood tides of sorrow and affliction may overflow us for a season, but just as sure as every living thing must move, so sure will it spring up again, untainted by the tidal onslaught. Why? Because its source is not in its surroundings. Its source is not in its circumstances. Its source is deep in the heart of God, the fountain of eternal life and eternal love. Beloved, we'll have some sufferings. We'll have some heartaches in this life, but nothing at all in comparison of the rock that was smitten. Do you know what he endured? That rock was smitten with the rod of God. The punishment he took on that cross were for the sins of the whole world, for the whole history of the world. So believe on that rock that was smitten. Receive that rock that was smitten. Love that rock that was smitten. And let him satisfy your thirst always. He's a wonderful Savior. And he loves us so much, he's our rock that was smitten for us. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning that you allowed that rock, your son, to be smitten for the likes of us. Lord, I'll never understand that one to my dying day. That you could love us so much that you were willing to take our punishment upon yourself. Lord, we love you this morning. And we thank you that for that rock that was smitten, in Exodus chapter 17, the Bible says the waters gushed out. I'm so thankful this morning that the waters of life by the Spirit of Christ are gushing out, flowing over us, filling us to overflowing. We thank you for that this morning, Father. We don't take our salvation lightly. And this morning we are reminded of just what that cost you. Oh Lord, I thank you that it says in verse 5 that you stood upon that rock and smote it with the rod of God. Lord, I'm so thankful for that you allowed Jesus Christ to become our smitten rock. Lord, it causes us, as we glean these truths and dwell upon them, it causes us to love Jesus so much more. It causes us to appreciate Jesus so much more. And Lord, there is nothing, nothing too big for you to ask of us because of all you've done for us. We thank you for it. In Jesus Christ's name, the people said, amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals at this time. And we'll have a hymn of invitation.
We'll stand. And let's go to 343, an appropriate hymn for us to sing this morning. To God be the glory. Amen? Yes. To God be the glory. And we'll sing all three. Altar is open.
Great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the light gates that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord. Who truly believes the moment from Jesus a pardon receives.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Oh,
come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and things he hath done, and we are rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see.
Everybody,
praise the Lord.
He's done. Brother Dave, if you dismiss us a prayer tonight at 6 o'clock, we'll be back on the doctrine of immortality. Good stuff.
Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the word and all that you do for us. Thank you for giving us your Son. We ask you to bless the snack that's been prepared for the birthing people, and please get us home today and back safely tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.